and Mike Bobo have been stirring their hearts, and they've been having prayer meetings. They've gone on a vision tour to Africa, seeking to work with the Sudanese in the refugee camp there in Uganda, where the Sudanese have fled into this camp. There's about 14,000 refugees in the camp. They're going to go into this camp. They're moving there Wednesday. And so we are excited to see God work. At the same time, we are sad to see those whom we love so dearly leave, but we know that just means we have to go to Africa and serve the Lord there. But at least that's what it means for me. You know, my brother's there, now I got to go there. The Lord knows how to get me abroad. but they're going to go in there, and from the war that's gone on in Sudan for the last 15 years, there's been a huge war, and really it's a holy war, it's a religious war. They are seeking to convert all the people to Islam, and if you do not convert to Islam, then they pretty much wipe out your village and they kill you, and that's what's been happening. And so many of these people have fled. This refugee camp with 14,000 people is only one of many in Uganda. Uganda is only one of many countries that there are refugees in. I think there's 1 million refugees totally that have fled. That's, again, a summary. There's not 1 million exactly to the person, but, you know, a summary of how many refugees. This war's been going on. They'll go into villages, the armies, they come into the village, and they'll just wipe out women and children and men mainly, and sometimes they'll just leave the kids and, you know, kill the parents, and these kids are just left. A lot of times, as we interviewed the kids, they said, you know, how we asked the kid, how did you get to the refugee camp when we were there a few months ago? And they would say, somebody grabbed me. Somebody just picked me up. Some lady came by and she got me and took me here. That's how I got here. How'd you get here? We walked. We're talking hundreds of miles. You know, some people say, well, as my parents took me, we were fleeing from Sudan. And on the way here, there's other rebel groups in Uganda that had killed my parents. And somebody got me and now I'm here. And so there's a lot of orphans in the refugee camp. There's a lot of orphans still in Sudan. We have teams in Sudan working, co-laboring with a far-reaching ministry, Wes Bentley's ministry. He's spoken here before. And we're working with them. They are working in Sudan. And he's training up guys there and has a Bible school there. They're going to be bringing us orphans straight from Sudan that have been totally forsaken, parents killed or lost or don't know where. You know, army comes into a village and attacks the village. Everybody just scatters and, you know, runs. And sometimes kids say, you know, the last time, I saw my brothers and sisters and my parents was when the army came, and then I don't know where they are. They could be dead or alive and just living in that unknown, and just the horror and the pain and the hurt and these kids that are just left for nothing. The team is going to be going, starting an orphanage in the refugee camp, which seems to be pretty stable in the sense of safety. In a military sense, anything could happen. We need to continue to pray for them. They're not going into the safest place of the world. You know, for us, safety is, you know, you call the police, 911, they're there like this. You know, we've got alarms, we've got safety. When I say safe in Africa, that's a whole nother definition of the word safety. It means there's not, you know, the refugee camp hasn't been hit by, you know, rebel groups in the last 10 years. Now, that's real safe in Africa. I mean, you're looking pretty good. But again, there's theft, there's robbery, there's murder within the refugee camp, just people, you know. The team's coming in with a lot of goods, with a lot of stuff to build this kind of a compound to house orphans. And so we need to just be lifting them up continually in our prayers. This is a huge ministry. Looking to, God willing, start some kind of a school for the kids. Some kind of an elementary school with a Christian education, and to start that. And we're really desiring to see that. As well, we're trying to start a Bible school for the kids. The first thing is the orphanage, and we'll work from there. And just really, it takes a lot of prayer, finances. If you want to support the work for the Uganda ministry, down on the missions table, there's a box, Uganda. If you support that work, I guarantee you that you will be blessed in what you do. It is a work of the heart of the Lord. You know, it says in the book of James, it says in James chapter 1, I believe it's verse 26, it says, perfect and undefiled religion before God is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And so that's exactly what they are seeking to do. And there's so much work to be done there. We could take everybody in the sanctuary right now. We could all move into this refugee camp and just begin to minister. There is so much work to be done. There is the greatest need for so many laborers. This is only one refugee camp out of many. And this is only one little country in Africa that's in need. And that's not even comparing to the need in the world abroad. And we need to be a church that cares about the lost and cares about the hurting Christians and suffering Christians. You know, it says in the book of Hebrews, it says to consider yourself as chained with those suffering. that you might minister to them. And put yourself in their shoes is what it's saying. Put yourself in their shoes because you're in the body, it says, just like they are and the things that they're going through. And so a great sacrifice this ministry is. And for the team, you know, moving there, it's a huge, huge sacrifice. And I just I want to stir us up this morning by way of prayer. We need to pray for them. Pray that God would lead them. God would guide them. The Lord is definitely upon such a work. And so at this time, if I could have Robbie come on up with the elders here and pastors. Since half of them are gone preaching this morning. First service, we had the privilege of Donnie Gunter being here. He's a pastor. We sent out the first one to Montana to plant a church. And he was able to pray with us, and that was a blessing. Well, Robbie, as well you know that what the Scriptures declare, and I want to read them in the public hearing of the congregation. It says in, first of all, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it's Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, fight the good fight of faith, verse 11, lay hold on eternal life to which you were called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. There was a confession made in the early church when, I believe it's here is a reference to Timothy being ordained. A confession made in the presence of many witnesses, and that's why we do this here. And so I want to read to you some things about an elder, as I know you're very familiar with, because you are an elder, and we just want to confirm that as we make the next step of ordaining you as a pastor. It says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. For a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy of money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in all submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into a reproach in the snare of the devil. And Robbie, here, as you well know, and you know the passage, and it's awesome not only to be your pastor, but your brother. I know you. I know you inside and out. And I know you fulfill these qualifications. I know that these are characteristics of your heart. You know, I know, though, that your wife has been barren and that God has spoken to you guys, that the reason that she's been barren is because he wants to call you to be father and mother to many, to a bunch of orphans who have no father and mother. And as we talk about being a pastor and an elder, overseeing the church, he says, one who rules his own house well, having his children in all submission with all reverence. Robbie, that is a hard thing to do. That is a heavy calling. And your calling, I so respect, because I know I have two boys. You're going to have 200. There's going to be a big difference. And if I can't at home rule my own house, if I can't guide and shepherd my little sheep, my wife, my kids, how can I run a ministry? And so it is, as I've seen just with you and your wife, how you've just been there and been an awesome husband to her. And just around other kids and my kids and your little nephews, you know, and just how you just love them, and you're made for it. I know God now is calling you away to these little black kids, these little precious little things that I know when you see them, you want them. I know I do. I go there, I want to take them all home. And just the privilege that you have, and just the seriousness of this call that as you rule the orphans, you rule them well. You rule them in a way not of lording over, as you well know, but as example. Shepherding, times of correction, times of instruction, times of love, times of comfort, times of mourning with them, as they are going to have so many emotional problems because of what they've been through. And this morning, as we ordain you, we do that, and we want to do it in a special way this morning. We want to ordain you not only as a pastor, but as a shepherd over other children, over the ministry team that's going to be there. The calling on your life is huge, and the warfare you're going to go through is going to be strong. And our prayer is this morning, God would just fill you with His Spirit and do you with power from on high, that you might fulfill this ministry that God has called you into. And Rob, we're excited.
Amen.
And Rob, we're sad. I hear a mom saying amen. Amen. Father, this morning, I come to you that's in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would endue Lord Robbie with power from on high to be a witness, Lord, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God, that you would take, Lord, all of the fears he has and turn them into his strengths. All of the weaknesses, God, that are there and be magnified through them. God, that you'd make him so dependent on you that he has nothing else to lean on. That, Lord, when it's all said and done, it's all you. And Father, this morning, as we, Lord, lay hands on him as a group of elders, we ask that you, Lord, would be magnified. That you would be glorified. And I pray you would endue him with wisdom from on high. That you would give him the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Lord, decisions he'll have to make, cross-cultural, Lord, barriers that he has to break. God, I pray that you would override those things with, Lord, the wisdom of your spirit. Lord, with insight from your heart. God, he doesn't know how. He's never done it. But Lord, you do. You've called them to it. And Lord, we know that you are faithful who called us, and you will also do it, as Paul declared to the Thessalonians. And so, Lord, we pray that very thing, that you who called them is faithful to endue them, to give them the gifts, the wisdom, the insight that he needs for such a ministry. And so, Lord, we praise you and bless you. We exalt you. Father, I pray that you would give him, Lord, favor among those who are outside. God, he could have a good reputation with the chief of the camp, God, and with the government around there, and with the police, Father, and with all those that he has to deal with the crooked and perverse, Lord, government situation there, and with the bribes, God, and all of the stuff that goes on, that you'd help him to walk in integrity, God, and that you would give him wisdom, Father. God, we pray that you'd protect him and that you'd give him wisdom to lead the team. God, I know that there are going to be life and death situations as we work with Sudan and work with the war that's going on there and decisions that will be made from the base in Uganda. Lord, I pray that you'd endue him with the wisdom, Lord, that is so far beyond and so transcends his understanding, that, Lord, he would have an ear to hear what the Spirit would say. That you would, Lord, just raise him up for your glory and honor. You'd make him a tower, God, in the midst of that refugee camp. You'd make him, Lord, just a fortress of your Spirit, that you would fill him with all the fullness of you. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you'd raise up laborers around him, anointed, gifted men and women that could take the burden off him, that he could give himself to the study and prayer, that he could give himself to equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, you would do that. I pray you would fill him. I pray you'd anoint him. God, we pray that you'd have your way. Just bless you, Lord. We just exalt you. And God, we commit him to you. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world. We commission him in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Could I have the rest of the team come on up? If you're in the sanctuary, we'd like to pray for you guys as well. For those of you that don't know, this is precious sister Heidi Douglas, Robbie's wife, and Katie and Christian are newlyweds of less than a month. Really? I'm flies and having fun. And beloved Mike Bobo. Mike and Christian are both deacons in our church, and God has been using them and raising them up. And Heidi had been overseeing the children's ministry and the women's ministry, and Katie had been helping her with all of that. And both of them, all of them being used awesome and mightily of the Lord thus far. And we're just looking to the Lord for more just glorious things. I mean, the team we're sending out is a strong team. And you know, we're praying that God raise up more laborers. They need a lot of laborers out there. And that God raise up people that are called and people that are serious and people that are ready to die and to live for Jesus Christ and to give up, you know, their comforts here in America. And I want you guys all to pick up, coming out is going to be there. You guys don't have it out yet, do you? The prayer card?
Next week.
Next week, their prayer card will be out there with their pictures on it. I want all of us to have that on our refrigerator, that we could be praying for them or wherever is best needed, that we just be lifting them up, seeing their faces and remembering that they were just like you and they gave up what they had here to go and to serve Christ and to do that work. And so we'd like to just lift them up. Aaron, you want to pray for them?
Father, I thank you so much for the work that you've begun. Lord, I thank you for your word that says, faithful is he who has called them, Lord, and that you will also do it. Mm-hmm. Lord, I thank you that we can commit them into your hands, Lord. I thank you that you are faithful, Lord, who has called them. I pray, Lord, you'd stir up the giftings that you've placed in them since they were born, since they're in their mother's wombs, Lord. I pray you would stir up those giftings that you desire to use in Africa, Lord, in Uganda. Lord, I pray for the people they go to minister to, Lord. I pray that you would so bring those chosen ones, Lord, that you desire to be saved, God. I know you desire for all to be saved, Lord. I pray for this first batch, Lord, as they go over there to minister, Lord. I pray that you would lead them to them. Lord, I pray that you prepare hearts, Lord, of the people there just to receive them, Lord, as I know they come out of a different culture, Lord, from a different place, Lord. I pray that you would give this team wisdom on how to minister, Lord. Lord, how to be Jesus to a people that are so different from themselves, Lord. Lord, I pray as they go that their hearts would be to meet with you, Jesus, as they go to Africa. Lord, because I know for sure one thing that you have called them to is fellowship with you, Jesus. And so I pray as they would go, Lord, that their hearts would remain in the place of desiring to minister to you, Lord, and that as they minister to you, you would minister through them. Lord, I pray that they wouldn't go necessarily to see lives changed and souls won, but I pray they would go in obedience to you, Lord, and that you would honor their obedience, Lord, and that as they minister to you, Lord, you'd minister through them and that souls would be saved and lives would be changed, Lord. I pray that you would help them not to hold some false sense of success based upon a measuring rod that's not given by you, Lord. But I pray that the measure of their success would be obedience to the call. And I pray as they're obedient to the call, Lord, that you would honor that. Yes. And that men would be saved and lives would be changed, Lord. I pray you would do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, Lord. I pray that you would do revival in Africa, beginning here, Jesus. And I pray as they go out as an extension of this body, Lord, I pray you would, Lord, forgive us for the times we've forgotten them to pray. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us not to forget again. But I pray they would be in continual remembrance in our heart. Lord, that we would pray without ceasing, Lord, for these, our brethren that you've sent out. Lord, they're so dear to us. We love them so much. It's so hard for us to let them go. And yet, Lord, I thank you that we can commit them to you, to the work that you have called them to. I pray you would stir our hearts, Lord, just to release them into your hands, trusting that you'll be faithful, Lord. Thank you that we have all eternity just to worship you together as the family of God. We worship you, Lord. We commit these saints into your care, praying you'd come and do your perfect will. Fulfill your deepest heart's pleasure in them. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So exciting to be here in the midst of the move of the Lord, work of His Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. And all of this wouldn't happen without direction from the Lord. How do you fulfill the call of God on your life? It comes through understanding the Lord. What we call theology is study of God. Understanding God's ways. Understanding how God works. Understanding that which is only the design that we find not from a man, but from the Word. Doesn't matter what I think this morning. Doesn't matter what you think this morning. What matters is, Lord, how do we run the church? And Lord, how do you want the church to act? And Lord, what's our place in the church? And therefore, when we hear that, we go. And so we've been now, fourth week, studying God's design for His church here in Ephesians 4. What a wonderful and important study we've been engaging in. Because how can we know how to be the church if we don't know what God's design for His church is? We've seen the church, the body. In our first study, we saw there in verse 7 and verse 16, we saw how He's gifted each one of us. Each one of us have a part. Each one of us have a place. And if one of those members are not fulfilling that part, it will stop the whole body. Just like in the analogy, the actual physical body. If one of my members is stopped, you know, if my arm is broken, it's going to affect my fingers. Although my fingers, they work great. They can move everything. The fingers are fine. But the fingers can't do what it used to do because the arm no longer can move the hand where the hand was to go for the fingers to work. And so the fingers work and the fingers say, I'm doing my calling, but the hand or the arm, it's broken and it won't go. And it's interesting because we talked about here how as we continue to study, we looked at verses 11, you know, and we saw the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teachers were to do what? To equip the saints. And then last week we looked at the equipping of the saints. We saw that word equipping was restoring. It was used in the medical terminology in the first century when Paul wrote this epistle of the resetting of bones. And this is interesting, you know. As the arm is broken, once it's reset, and once the saints become equipped, that arm becomes healed and mended, then the fingers can do that which they have always been trying to do because the arm is working. Every single part does its share. And unless every single part does its share, the physical body doesn't work. So it is with the church of Jesus Christ. And that's Paul's analogy. So it is with us today. If we don't do our share. Now we saw that the pastor teacher was there to equip the saints in the Word of God. Once the saints were equipped through the Word of God, the saints could do the work of the ministry. It's the saints who do the work of the ministry, and we need to emphasize that. I need to emphasize that again this morning. It's not the pastor. And I don't have to say that because I'm trying to get out of work. I'm saying that because that's what the Bible teaches. The pastor teaches what I'm doing right now. What am I doing right now? I'm equipping the saints. What for? So you guys could know the will of God for your life? Understand the Word of God and move out in God's calling on your life. I just stir you up. That doesn't mean the pastor studies and nobody else does. Not at all. Because here, as we look at verse 13 this morning, going on now, he says, tell we, this is going to happen, the saints being equipped for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, listen to this, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Now, I'm already running late because we spent quite some time there. And so I'll do my best, but I can't neglect. So prepare your heart. Guys, this is important stuff. When will the equipping of the saints stop? When we all come to the unity of the faith. People say, haven't we done enough teaching yet? Well, are we united yet? Have we come to the knowledge of the Son of God? Are we a perfect man? Are we filled with the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ? Are we no longer children? Are we no longer being tossed to and fro by different doctrines, the winds of doctrines passing through the church? It's a sad thing to say, but after 20 centuries, the church still is being tossed to and fro. Something wrong has happened to the body of Christ. Because we're talking here, when we talk about the church, think with me, we're not talking about us only. We're not talking about the people in America, the church in America. We're not even talking about the church in the world only. We are talking about the church from the day of Pentecost to the rapture of the church. It's one body. And it should have been growing and growing and growing. And now there's areas that has. And there's areas that we have come to. You think about in the theological world today, we have some of the best scholarly theological books and commentaries and study helps, and we have arrived at such a place that it's way easier for a guy like me to study, a guy like you, a lady like you to study than ever before. Absolutely. We've got all the computer programs and all these things. But you know what? If you look at generations past, and this is when a good lesson of church history would come in, I encourage you to take it. We're going to be offering it Tuesday nights. It's my little commercial bloop. You can look in the past and you can see areas where the church was moving out in the will of God. Moving out in unity. What is unity? Again, unity is not just peace amongst one another. Unity is working together for the saints, for the work of the ministry. The working together for the purpose of fulfilling the will of God, which is what? Seeing the world, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and being converted. That every man on every planet and every tribe and every tongue would hear the gospel and have a chance to respond. Have a chance to be taught. Have a chance to grow just like we do right now. We have that chance and we have that opportunity. And this is the will of God. And that's why you can see our church is growing. There is growth happening. No, not people. Sure, that's happening, but that's not even the issue this morning. I'm talking about growing from babes, from infants to adults to maturity. From immaturity to maturity. Growth. We'll see, and that's exactly what the text is talking about and making reference to. And here this morning, what we need to see is that yes, there is such a need in us that we would grow up. Now, I can see areas we're growing because now we've started the church and we're growing and we're going in different directions, and God is beginning to raise people up and to send them out to fulfill His will. The will of God is that God would be glorified amongst all men. And the way God is glorified is when Jesus Christ is exalted and when the cross is preached, when the resurrection is preached. That's how God is glorified. God is glorified in His Son. It's clear throughout the Word. Go through the Gospel, especially the Gospel of John. It's through Christ He's glorified. He's glorified in His Son when His Son is glorified in you and me. And it says, that let your light so shine among men, they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And there's that glorification that takes place. But I want to tell you that the ultimate glorification that takes place will only take place when the church is fulfilling the will of God. Now, how is the church going to fulfill the will of God if the church doesn't understand the will of God? They're not going to, and that's where we come this morning. We need to move from being babes to mature. And here in the text, that's exactly what we have. We have in verse 13, and I want to look at mainly where it says there in verse 13, at the end there, part B, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We don't have time for the other. I wish we did. And then verse 14, comparing this, that we should no longer be children. Now again, the word there for perfect man is a word that is used for maturity. In fact, that Greek word is translated perfect throughout the New Testament. But there are areas and in context that it's translated mature. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, this Greek word is used, and they're translated for maturity. And it's interesting because if you look at chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's making comparison to mature Christians and the carnal, babes, infants. And there's that comparison. Then you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. It says to be mature in these things, in spiritual gifts. In understanding, be mature, but in malice, be babes. A comparison between a baby that crawls. This word here for children is a word that speaks of a babe. The literal word means not to speak, not to speak. It means you can't speak. It means it's the child that can't yet speak. He's just an infant, we would call it. He's just a child. He's not 6, 7 years old. We're talking about an infant stage. No longer being babes, but growing up. And there's that comparison with the immature and the mature. It's all through the Word of God. This Greek word is used. And look what it says here, because it says that that the maturity is measuring to the stature of Christ. It's interesting. The measure, that word measure simply means that, like a measuring tape. It's speaking of height. How tall is it? Which speaks of full grown manhood. How tall is the boy? He's no longer a boy. Look how big he is. He is a man. He's growing up, we say. The word stature, that's what it speaks of as height. It's the measure of that height. To what? The fullness of Christ. When Christ, follow me, saints, please, those of you that have been with us in these studies, the fullness of Christ, which He fills what? His church. His church, which fills all in all. Look at that. Look at verse chapter 1, verse 22. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the church, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. How does God fill the earth? Through His church. When the church is filled with Him. And then we saw in chapter 3, remember that in verse 19, where it says, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge and be filled with all the fullness of God. God, as He fills His church, matures His church, and causes His church to grow up, is when the fullness of Christ is revealed. When the full man is there. When every aspect, it says in chapter 3, it said in verse 10, that to the intent, as He talked about the will, the mystery, the gospel, the whole thing, it says to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. The word manifold is a word that means many-sided or different colors. Every aspect of God, of God's wisdom, is being revealed by who? The church, as the body, is being filled with all of God. Every piece of God, every part of God, every aspect, every characteristic, everything that God possesses and that who God is, that the church is going to manifest this to the world, that the world is going to be able again to see Jesus Christ in His church. Only, though, when His church becomes equipped in His Word. Because you know the heart of God. We know the heart of God through His Word. And that's why I emphasize the Word. I don't emphasize the Word because I like to study. Because I'm the kind of guy that's a little intellectual and I like to get into these arguments and think through passages. And guys, I was born with dyslexia. You know that. I can't read. God's given me the opportunity to study. But I hate studying. I threw books against the wall my whole life, ripped them in half. I hated studying, hated school. I graduated high school by God's grace when I was 21 years old. Why then do I study? Because without it, I will not know the Lord. And without it, I can't equip you. And God's called me to equip the saints. And I don't emphasize study because I'm on a kick of Bible study. But it's the only way, listen, it is the only way to equip the saints. It is the only way for you to know the Lord is through His Word. You're not going to lay in bed one night and get overtaken by the Spirit and God is going to give you this revelation and that's all you need. There's only one way to understand the nature and character of God and most importantly, to understand the will of God for your life. So many people say, man, I'm so frustrated with my Christian walk. I'm excited about heaven. I can't wait till heaven. But between now and heaven, it's misery. That's because you don't know the will of God. Because the will of God isn't misery. It's glorious. The team going to Africa isn't misery. Them going and moving into a grass hut isn't misery. It's life and that life more abundantly. And only the born-again believer could totally understand that. Because understanding when you're fulfilling the will of God, when you're walking in the fullness of God, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, there's nothing better. Nothing. It's awesome. It's full. It's rich. This life brings nothing but misery. But Jesus Christ brings... He says, you know, I've come to give you life and that life more abundantly, joy inexpressible and full of glory. He didn't come to give you misery and horror. He came to fill you with what you long for is Him. And it's so important for us to see this because it says that we would no longer be babes tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Right now, the body of Christ in general is babes. You turn on the TV and there's all kinds of, quote, preachers preaching not the Word. They use the Word for their own deceitful gain. And they're ripping off, fleecing the flock of God. And the church is falling. You see these guys, I watch TV, and these guys are, listen, please be gracious with me this morning, but I've got to speak the truth. They're heretics. Heretics. That is heresy. It is unbiblical. It is not right. It is not God. And they're claiming, standing in the name of God, saying, give me your money. If you give me the money, this ministry is going to go under. If you don't give me your money, you know, the sweat, the handkerchiefs. And listen, God doesn't need your money to keep His work going. Those guys are shysters. Well, let me show you. It's right here in the text. Shysters. That we should no longer be children, babes. Listen, the church, the people, the saints should no longer be babes, because if they are, they will be what? Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Listen, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness in which by they lie in wait to deceive. The word trickery is literally dice playing. Throwing the dice, gambling, playing, and what it means is the dice that's got weights in it that you know it's tricked, it's you know it's loaded. Dice playing. It means these guys are shysters, ripoff, con artist. They're tricking. They're lying in wait to deceive who? The ignorant saint that will follow their teaching because they're not grounded in the Word of God. That's who follows them. Because I watch and I see mass amounts of people. I see this guy preaching and I know the Word and I know what he's saying is not true. He's pulling this verse and they're gifted teachers. And so they know how to manipulate verses and make it sound good and, you know, be eloquent with their words and smooth. And it's the flattery of men. And I look in their auditorium and I see thousands of people. And people say, well, look, thousands of people go. So it must be right. No, not at all. It's the saints. They're being tossed to and fro. They're being carried about by every wind of doctrine. And you watch those things. You watch movements start and fade. Because once the excitement's gone, those saints that were once here, God's moving. Everybody goes, they rush over here. God's moving. All of a sudden, that gets old, whatever's going on, whatever thing is happening. No longer it's this, they move over here, God's moving. This church goes down, that church is flourishing now. Oh, they're just being tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. They're just going from place to place, being carried about. And it is not the church of Jesus Christ. It is not the way God has designed it. We need to be saints that can rightly divide the Word of God. Not so we can debate and, you know, argue, and but so we know God's will for our life. Listen to this word maturity and this word babe. It's mentioned again. Look at verse, our Hebrews chapter 5 with me. Hebrews chapter 5. I want to show you this. This is a powerful text. This is one that's life-changing. If you grab it, get a hold of it. Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14. Same words. Immature, mature, infant, babe. Full grown. For though, Hebrews 5:12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled, listen to this, unskilled, the word is inexperienced, in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. What are they unskilled in, the babes? The word of righteousness. What are they inexperienced in? The word of righteousness. So some guy says, oh yeah, this, I heard from the Lord. He gives a few Bible verses, they follow it. Oh, it must be of God. Saints are being just ripped off. But solid food, again, a solid food, belongs to those who are full age. There's our word, perfect man, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. That word perfect man, same Greek word right here. Full age, that's what it means, the full age, fully matured. And even in maybe your margin, it might have at full age, they're mature. Because that's what it speaks of, that's what that word means, is mature. So solid food belongs to a full-grown adult. You don't give steak to, you know, my little boy Joel, he'll choke. Now, I'm trying to train Isaac, but I'm a little quick. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, how are they a full age? Listen, that is, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There it is, right there. What a powerful passage. How is the church to mature? We know by the equipping from the Word of God. How are they to grow? By, listen, solid food belongs to those who are of full age. How do they become of full age? Mature. By reason of use. They have exercised their, listen to the word, senses. To discern, to decide, to make a decision on either good or evil. This is so important. People say, how do I know the will of God? Mature in your faith. Get in the Word. People say, well, I got in the Word. They want to know the will of God today. That's what they're talking about. It's a consistent study of God's Word in your heart, knowing the will of God. Because you understand the Word of God, you understand the heart of God, you understand the ways of God. And therefore, you can make every single decision in your life based upon the character and nature of Jesus Christ. How? When you become a full age, how do you get there? By reason of use. This ties into last week. Remember we talked about being doers of the Word? And how we'll be blessed when we do that. And the Word turns into a work because we exercise it. Notice it says their senses. That word speaks of spiritual senses. Spiritual things to use to discern. I can sense that this is the Lord. I can sense this isn't. Just a discernment. Spiritual senses are what exercise the only way for you and I to know and discern the will of God is to exercise our spiritual men. To exercise that inner man. To exercise that which God has given to us. How? By reason of use. That's how you exercise, right? Exercise takes work, doesn't it?
Yes.
Takes sweat. Isn't that why a lot of us don't exercise? But those that do exercise, you can tell. It works. It takes labor. You know, we live in a generation. We live in an era. We live in a culture that wants everything handed to them on the platter. Therefore, it's creeped into the church. Right now, there's people probably sitting here saying, when's the preacher going to be done? I'm not a preacher. I'm a teacher of the Bible. I'm a teacher of God's Word. I'm a pastor that equips the saints. If you don't want to be equipped, you probably shouldn't come to our church. Because I'm just going to teach and teach and teach. When? Till we come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a fully mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
That's when I'll stop. And so when we become that, I'll stop. And so, you know, we're here. We're not here this morning because we go to church. We're here this morning because we love God. Because we want to know God.
Amen.
Because we want to walk with God. Because we want to discern what is right and wrong. What's God's will? What is not? People say, I don't know, maybe it's God, maybe it's me. I have those questions too. What does it come back to? Being equipped in the Word, going to the Word. What's the Word say about this circumstance? What's the character of God in here? What would God do? What would I do in light of eternity? How does this all work out? That we would be believers that would have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Oh man, can you imagine the maturity in your life if you could just, in your walk with the Lord, circumstance comes in your way. Here it is. You've got to make a decision. And in your mind, the Word of God is flowing. You're praying, you're thinking through things, and you say, this is what to do. You don't go, I don't know. Hold on. Got to call the pastor. Pastor, I've got this circumstance here, and I need to know. Listen, you can't do that. Wait, got to find my concordance. Wait, hold on. I got to get my concordance out. All right, let me look up some verses. Let me get back with you. But to be equipped, to rightly divide the Word. Do the Word's in you. Your senses are exercised to discern both good and evil. You are skilled in the Word of righteousness. Skilled. That means you've been exercising. And you have skill there. And when the situation comes your way, you can confidently, not like a coward, but confidently, you can determine immediately right and wrong. That's strength. That's a mature Christian. That's somebody that's going to do something for the kingdom of God, because they can move out in boldness. Not, I don't know, but just they know the Lord. They know the heart of the Lord, and they just go. And they're led by the Spirit through the Word. They're not tossed to and fro. Somebody comes by. No, you got to do this, this. You're saying, that's unbiblical. And you can just move, keep moving. The wind comes by. Here comes the new doctrine. The new wind. It's blowing in. That's great. Whoever's going to fall it, I guess, is going to. That's not biblical. And I'm going this way. I'm not getting distracted. I'm not being an infant. I'm going to do what? Listen to this. Verse 15 goes on to say, there in our Ephesians text, instead of being infants, those that can't speak, it says, but speaking the truth in love. These tie together. Maturity, infant. Again, the word infant means can't speak. Then it goes on to say, but those that are mature do what? They speak the truth. Hear the word, the truth, in love. And then they grow into all things, into Him who is the head, Jesus Christ. That's when we grow. People talk to me about being a silent witness. You can't be a silent witness. You got to be a speaking witness. The early church wasn't a silent witness. There are times to be silent. But there are definitely times to speak the word of righteousness. But you can if you don't know it. Somebody says this, that, and you're just thinking, man, that doesn't sound right, but I don't know what to say. When you're skilled in the word of righteousness, you know exactly what to say. It's an awesome, wonderful thing that's going to only cause our church, the body of Jesus Christ, to grow, to be strong, to be strengthened, that we could be a full age. You know, people that don't care about this, I'm fearful for their salvation. If you're here this morning and you don't care about being skilled in the word of righteousness, you don't care about growing in your faith, I question if you have faith. Jesus says you'll know a tree by its fruit. You don't care about doing the will of God. You're just waiting to get out of this hot sanctuary. I'm fearful for you. Because there's a hotter place that you're going to be going. And I don't say that funny this morning. You know, I'm glad you laughed. We enlightened it a little bit. But here's the deal. Are you saved? Are you born again? You might go to church here every single week. Doesn't matter. That doesn't say you might go today and get baptized. Doesn't matter. Do you care about the things of God? Are you concerned about serving God? Do you want to love the Lord? Do you want to walk with God? Is Jesus Christ the number one? Is He the Lord of your life? Or is He somebody in your life? Because if He's somebody in your life, He's not the Lord. And when you come to Him and say to Him on that day, Lord, Lord, He will say, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. You practice iniquity. You can call me Lord all you want, but I'm not your Lord because you never treated me like your Lord. See, when Jesus Christ is your Lord, you want to please Him. He's the Lord. You're the servant. It doesn't matter what I think. I go through all kinds of different emotions, feelings, desires. Doesn't matter. As I bring the Word back into it and I say, God, but what's your will? Not my will be done, but your will. That's the evidence of salvation. And that's when I care. See, I can't walk with the Lord without His Word. I'm going to be stumbling around. The Word of God is light. The psalmist says it's a lamp to the feet and a light to the path. It's a lamp to your daily life. It's a lamp for the next step and it's a light to the path to the future, to down the road. If you don't care this morning about being skilled in the word of righteousness, you need to start caring about your salvation. You need to ask yourself, am I saved? Am I going to heaven? Am I born again? Do I care? Why don't I care about the things of God? Brothers and sisters, my plea this morning, as a broken-hearted pastor for the Church of Jesus Christ today, As my heart is broken because I see the devastation. I'm devastated. I don't sit back and laugh at guys on TV. I don't sit back and go, what a heretic. I'm brokenhearted. I'm broken. I think, look at those people. They think they're following God. They're going out, they're giving that guy money, thinking they're doing God a service, and they're not. This guy is a shyster. This guy's ripping off the church. My heart's broken. My heart's broken as I look at the body of Christ. As I look at churches here in Yorba Linda, as I look at our own church, and I see people going to church week in and week out and having no life. no spiritual life, no desire for God, no passion to preach the gospel, no care about the lost. But what I see is a care about self. A lack of crucified life, a lack of being ready to die. And I know what the Word says. Jesus said it clearly. If you're not willing to pick up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. You're not going to heaven. You're not saved. You're not going to stand before me clothed in my righteousness, God would say. You can't, because you won't take it. If you try to live your life for yourself, you're only going to find that you're going to be miserable. And ultimately, you're going to find no life after death. But if, like Jesus said so clearly, again, I think of these things and I understand what Jesus said. Not that I have some great knowledge. I'm still learning. I'm still growing so much. I've got so much to learn, so much to grow. But I have a grasp upon the Word. And I understand that Jesus said, if you want to find life, you must lose it. He says, if you want to go up in life, you must give up in life. You must give up. If you want to be rich, become poor. This is what Christianity, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has taught. And brothers and sisters, it's our culture. And it's in our church. And it's wrong. It's unbiblical. It's sin. It's self. Self brings you misery. Self will self-condemn you. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. And He has ways that aren't our ways. And it's called death to self. Dependency, giving up. Listen, the day of judgment is going to be a horrifying day because there are so many people in our generation who think they're Christians. You can say you're a Christian all day. If you don't have a walk with God, you don't have daily fellowship with Jesus Christ, if you don't have a relationship with God, and if you don't obey God's Word, you are not a Christian and you're not going to heaven. And my heart this morning is the same heart of Jesus Christ. Turn to me right now. I'll make you a Christian. It's not about some confession here. It's about evidence after. It's about walking with God. It's about saying, I care about God. I care about the will of God. I care about missions because it's God's heart. I'm concerned. I'm not just a church goer. I'm a Christian. I live for Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of my life. He is the God in whom I serve and belong to. I love when Paul, he was on a missionary journey. He's sitting there on this boat. They're in the midst of the storm and shipwrecked. And they don't know what to do. It says they lost all hope. They've been out there 14 days. They hadn't seen the sun or the stars, which is the way they would navigate their boats in those days. They had no idea where they were. They were in the midst of a storm. Paul stands up and says, an angel to whom the God I belong and whom I serve spoke to me last night. I love it. He says, the angel to whom the God whom I belong, I'm sold to Him and whom I serve. Could you say that? The God to whom I belong and the God to whom I serve has spoken to me through His Word. Through His Word. And this is what we're going to do. And this is what I'm going to do. This is my life. And this is the direction He's taking. Because my God to whom I belong and to whom I serve has spoken to me. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I plead with you. I plead, I beg, I urge you to come to the Lord humble and broken. To ask the Lord to cleanse. To ask the Lord to reveal those areas of deception in your heart. Deception in your life. The places where self is exalted. And where you've been living for self. And to begin to come into the fellowship of the saints in a new way. That you might be washed with the water of the Word. That you might grow in your faith. That you might begin to understand and become skilled in the Word of righteousness. That you might become a part of the body of Christ and a member and a citizen of heaven. That you might have life and that life more abundantly. But it's going to take utter confession and repentance and forsaking of our sin, of us, self, of our life. And this week I ask you to sit down, examine your life, get a pen and paper out and examine your life. Why do I do this? Why do I do this? What? Write down your daily events. People say, I'm too busy to study. I'm too busy to go to those schools. That's great, but why are you too busy? What is so important? What is more important than Jesus Christ and knowing Him? Hey, if you're equipped, if you know the Word, great. Go serve the Lord. You say, I'm out, I have a career. Great, go, man, and be a witness wherever you are. But if you be honest with yourself this morning, and if you come to the conclusion after being honest, saying, you know what, I'm lacking being equipped in the Word. I can't discern both good and evil. I'm not skilled in the word of righteousness. But I don't have time to become because it takes time. What? You don't have time? You don't have time to serve God? It's going to be a horrifying day on the day of judgment. It's not that you're saved by works, but it's evidence of where your heart is. Well, I have to make more money. What for? Well, because I have a bigger house payment now. I've moved. What? Now I can understand. I got to make more money because God has called me and given me the gift of giving. And I want to see that the gospel, and I want to see orphans touched and filled. And okay, you're walking in the call. You understand the Lord. You understand His word. This whole thing about making more money and having a bigger house and newer cars, I know I'll step on toes, but it's unbiblical. It's unbiblical. It's self. The scripture says to live in equality. We got brothers that are suffering and dying. Sure, in our culture you have to, you know, there's a certain level we live. You know, it costs more money to live here than there. But how much does it really cost, or how much do we want and need? I know I step on toes this morning. I know people are going to be mad at me. I don't care, because I care about you. I care what you think. I care about the truth. The truth of the matter is, I'm going to stand on the judgment day accountable for what I shared with you. And I got to speak the truth in love. Now again, you know this one. I'm not judging anybody. I'm saying you examine your life. I won't examine it. You examine it. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you have. If you drive a nicer car than other people, that's fine. I don't care. That's not my place to judge. The Bible says I'm a servant. You're a servant. I don't have that authority. I'm just telling you what God's word says. You stand before the Lord on it. You feel free to drive a limousine if you want. But you stand before the Lord. Hey, maybe it's God's will. I don't know. Are you skilled in the word of righteousness? God has spoken you. Great, you're free in Christ. But I'm asking you, if you examine the word and you've come to a conclusion, this is not evil, this is good. I'm discerning here. And all I'm saying is, for this week, examine your life. Write down on a list why I do all these things and begin to take out of your life that which is not God's will. And you'll say, I don't know God's will. Start praying. Start searching the scriptures. And maybe start getting more equipped. Brothers and sisters, come to church with prepared hearts. Come to church with a notebook and a pen. When I quote verses, I don't quote it so you guys know that I know where it is. I have spent hours of labor of memorizing scripture references, not just verses, scripture references, so that I could equip you better. Please use it for God's glory. Write them down. Search it out. See if that what I'm saying is true. Don't go by my word. Go by God's. Write it. All those verses I quote. I quote so you could write it. Study that word out. Study that word mature, babe. That whole thing. I quote all these passages for a reason. Study it out. And approve yourself to God as a workman who can rightly divide the word of truth. That you won't be ashamed. You're not going to be ashamed, but you're going to be bold, confident, and able to go forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, I plead with us this morning as a church to give our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ wholly and completely. I know there's need for repentance. Please repent with the Lord today before it's too late. I know there's deception. My heart gets deceived all the time. The Bible says that it's deceived by sin. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says that your heart is deceived through sin. Hardening of the deceitfulness of sin, it calls it. There's deception. Sin is deceived. And the only thing that's going to break through that deceptive heart is the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 goes on to say, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. And it will pierce to the division of joint and marrow and soul and spirit. And it will judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The only thing that's going to help is the Word of God to cut open that deception, to peel it back, and to reveal the truth. But then it's our job to take that and to turn to the Lord. I pray that you can stand with the Apostle Paul and say, to whom, the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. has spoken to me. And that's why I live like I do. That's why I do what I do. Because it's the will of God. We ought to have confidence. And today I see nothing but timidity. The lack of confidence. And my prayer for us as a congregation, as a church, is God to raise us up with a confident people. And I'll leave you with this verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We are to go forth and to proclaim the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light." We are called to proclaim, this is your calling, the praises of Him who has called you out of the world, the darkness, into the marvelous light of God and God's Word and the understanding. "Therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation." Go! Because you can, because you've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much, God, for the confidence that we can stand on in Your Word this morning. We thank You, God, that I don't have, Lord, just some neat concepts or thoughts to share this morning. Some surveys or studies that man has done. But God, we can rely on Your infallible, inspired Word. And God, we can just rest with all of our hearts, trusting You, Lord, with everything in us, because Your Word said it. Therefore, Lord, we're going to do it. Father, help us to base our faith upon the written Word. And God, help us and help me, God, to equip the saints here and the pastors who co-labor with me throughout all the schools we do and all the services we have. That would be for, Lord, the very purpose of equipping the saints, that we might be strengthened and Lord, restored for the work of the ministry, that we would see the edifying of Your body, that we would come, Lord, to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, that we would come to the mature man in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer, Lord, be children tossed to and fro. We don't have to be, Lord, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery and cunning craftiness of man in which they lie in wait to deceive. But we could go forth and speak Your truth in love, which we grow into Him who is the head. And that every joint and ligament, Lord, every kin together, Lord, does its share, causes growth for the body of the edifying of itself in love. That's Your heart. And that's what we pray that You do in our church. And spread it throughout the body of Christ. And we would see an army, not retreating, Lord, but advancing as an army. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you.